Good morning, everyone. It's always good to see you. It's always great to get to worship with you. Last week, we asked those questions. Why do we come and worship? Why do we gather together? Why do we come to this place? And we found the answer was pretty obvious. It's because He is worthy. Amen? He is worthy of our praise. And so we are here this morning, and I'm so glad to see you, and so glad and to worship with you, and excited that we get to open up His Word and His message to us this morning. So we are in the book of Colossians, so open with me to the book of Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to be in two verses this morning, verses 15 and 16. So Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. If you are a note taker, we have some bulletins here that you can use to take notes, or maybe you have your own journal. And it's always good to take notes. It helps the mind to remember things, and so feel free to do that. All right, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. But before we begin, let me ask you this question. How many of you need to be reminded of things? Raise your hand, proud. Yes, okay. I know the older that I get, the more I need to set reminders for myself. But isn't it great? I mean, thankfully we have all this technology. You know, we can ask Siri to remind us to take the trash out the next day. I mean, you can just say, "Hey Siri, take the trash out." I've got all these little Echo Dots throughout my house, and they're super cheap, and so you can just spread them through your house, and you can walk in and ask Alexa. And so sometimes, does anyone ever get Siri and Alexa mixed up? Anyone have both of those? Okay, my daughter. Okay, so just our family. But we can, you know, you can ask Alexa to do things or set a reminder. It's super handy. My phone connects to my watch, so when I'm driving, it tells me when I'm 30 minutes from an appointment. That's pretty cool. I mean, again, I need these things. It seems that we need this more than ever. Now, when I was younger, we used paper. Does anyone remember those days? Yeah. In fact, when I was starting out in ministry, in my office, I had a big desk calendar. Do you guys remember those? They were like this big, and you set them on your desk, or you put them on your wall, and I wrote all my things in. But even cooler than that, and this is going to kind of date me a little bit of my age, but it was really exciting in January to go to Office Depot and pick out your next daily planner. Anyone remember those days? I mean, and it's like that was that's what they were spending money on. It's like, oh, look at this one. This one has a journal, and it has like, I can put numbers in this. It's already got emergency numbers in it. I mean, it's like you would put your contacts in it. And I didn't use half that stuff. I just bought it because it was cool and it looked good and had a leather binding on it, and it was awesome. But again, why do we need so many reminders? Why do we need to remind ourselves of things? Why do we put things on a calendar, or we ask Siri to do something to remember, help us to remember things? The answer is simple. It's because we are very distracted people, right? Anyone distracted? And the busier you get and the more stuff you have coming into your life, the more distracted that we get, and the more muddy that our mind gets. And I mean, our schedules before the pandemic were just nuts. I mean, we can all probably say that one positive thing about this is that we were forced to slow down a little bit. But our schedules are busy, and they're getting busier again as we move back into society and all the things that we're doing. But we would have things every night. We'd have family event. Our work gets crazy, and our mind gets muddy, doesn't it? Do you ever feel like your mind is muddy? Like you can't really see through all the distractions and all the things that you're trying to remember? And so what happens is sometimes we forget what is important. Sometimes in the muddiness of our mind and the craziness of our schedules, we forget sometimes what is important. Sometimes when we're feeding our mind just all through, you know, social media, news, friends, people, and they're telling us all these things, sometimes we forget what truth is. when we're not focused on Jesus, when we're not spending time in his word, and we're spending more time listening to the lies and the deceit of Satan, guess what? We forget sometimes what truth is. We forget what the truth of the gospel it is. We might know the truth. We might know who Christ is. We know the truth of his word. We know the truth of the gospel, and then all of a sudden we get lazy. We stop reading his word. We stop spending time with him. We stop praying. We start listening to the lies of the world, the lies of the great deceiver. We start believing sometimes the lies, and our minds get muddy. And this is what was happening to many of the churches that Paul was writing to in the New Testament. These churches started, and Paul would say, you started out well. You started out well. You were listening to the truth of the gospel, and you believed, and you were following him. And then what happens is those false teachers start moving into those churches. And again, Satan has always attacked the church with lies and deceit. And these false teachers would come in and start spreading lies. They would start teaching false gospels. And so Paul, what would he do? He would write to these churches to encourage them, and he would remind them of the truth of the gospel. He's like, you know this. Remember, you knew this. You started out so well. Let me remind you of the truth. Get your eyes off the distractions. Fix your eyes on Jesus and remember the truth of the gospel. We all need reminding. The church needs to sometimes be reminded of the truth. Sometimes a church needs to be caused to wake up. And I think for many of us, some of us, we have kind of seen that through this season. The pandemic, the craziness of what's happening has caused some of us to wake up. It's like, what are we doing? What was the church doing? Just going through the motions, just doing our stuff. Sunday, time to go to church, guys. What are we really doing? I shared this passage with you last week in 1 Thessalonians about when God allows crazy things to happen, hard things to happen, so the church will wake up. It's time to wake up. There is a lost and dark world, and there are people that are scared, they're searching, they're needing someone to come and shine the light of the gospel, share the truth. Are we going to go right back to what we were doing and just going through the motions of the church? Are we going to wake up? Are we going to be a church? Or is this church right here, East Point Church on Post Road, are we going to shine brightly the light of the truth of the gospel? Are we going to go out into our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our schools when we go back? And are we going to get serious about living for Christ and sharing the good news of the gospel? Paul is writing to the church at Colossae, and he's reminding the church of who Christ is and also who they are in Christ. He is reminding them that Christ is Lord of all creation. This is what he's focusing on in this letter. He's saying, you guys know the truth. You guys are drifting over here. You're listening to lies of false teaching. Remember who Christ is. Remember who you are in Christ. Remember that Christ is Lord of all creation. He has encouraged them to get their eyes fixed on Jesus, to get their eyes off the distractions of the world, to stop listening to the lies of these false teachers, and to fix their eyes on Christ, who is Lord of all creation. So as we move into this next passage, these next few verses, what Paul does is he lifts our eyes to Christ, reminding us that Christ holds all things together, that Christ created all things. He's reminding the church of the preeminence of Christ. And so I hope this morning that you will be reminded of who Christ is, that he truly is Lord of all creation. I hope that this truth brings clarity to your life. Maybe your mind is muddy, and you need to be reminded that God is in control, that Christ is in control, that he holds all things together, that he is truly worthy of our praise. Let's read verses 15 and 16 this morning. I want to pray, and we will jump into this. Starting in verse 15, it says this, He, as in Christ, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. Amen. Let's pray. God, we love You. As we just read Your word, just hear the words of Your truth, God, we praise You because You truly are worthy of our praise. You are Lord of creation. Thank You for Your love for us. Thank You for Your work on the cross. Let us be reminded of who You are. Let us be reminded of Your truth. Let us be reminded of Your power. I pray that You would speak to our hearts this morning, that you would encourage believers to be reminded of the truth of who You are. You would call to those who are lost. You would call them out of darkness, call them out of death into life through the gospel. Lord, speak to us this morning. Let us be so excited that we serve You, that we have a relationship with You, the one who created all things. Let that excitement move us into this lost world to share the gospel, to shine the light of the gospel to this lost world. Thank You for this time. Thank You for this church. Thank You that we're able to gather this morning. We love You, and it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So what do we see in these two verses here as we begin this section on the preeminence of Christ? What we see in verse 15, if you're taking notes, you can write this down, it's the glory of the person of Christ. The glory of the person of Christ. Look at verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. He is worthy of our praise because He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. You see, when Paul speaks about Christ, he always is speaking in a way that reveals Christ's true identity. Have you noticed that when he speaks about Christ? He uses large language, incredible language, unusual language sometimes that we go like, we don't use those words in a normal, conversation with people. Why does he do this? Why is Paul always, when he's talking about Jesus and he's sharing who Christ is, he uses unusual language? It's because Christ is God. I mean, when you think about it, but Christ is 100% God. He's 100% man. That is hard to explain, isn't it? That's hard for us to comprehend sometimes. Ian McNaughton says this is because Jesus Christ is not man deified or God humanized. Rather, He is indissolubly divine and human. Does that blow anybody's mind? That someone could be divine and human, like 100%, not just a little bit human and more God, or 75% God. Christ is 100% human, 100% God. And that's hard to explain. That's hard for us as believers to wrap our minds around. It's very difficult for someone who is lost to say, well, yeah, I believe in that. It's hard for us to comprehend. Non-believers, the false teachers, couldn't and still they still can't comprehend this. They can't wrap their finite minds around this. And so as believers, what do we have? We have faith, right? The Holy Spirit gives us faith. We are given faith by the hearing of the word. The Holy Spirit affirms those things. When you're a believer in Christ, Holy Spirit saves you, and then you're following Him. The Holy Spirit comes into our life. What is it? So that when we read God's word, the Holy Spirit affirms that. Has anyone ever felt that as you read God's word? You go, yes, I do believe this. So we trust in this truth in our lives. And so, but this is why Paul had to use this incredible language to describe this truth. He's reminding the church in this passage of Christ's true identity. It says here, Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. He is this because He is 100% human, made in God's image, but also because He is the same nature of God. Let me repeat that, okay? He's the image of the invisible God. That phrase tells us that he is 100% human, made in the image of God, but at the same time, he has the same nature of God. Hebrews 1:3, the first part of that verse says this. Listen to this carefully. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. There's the answer right there. And he upholds the universe by word of his power, okay? Do I need to repeat that? I think I do. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Amen? Okay. Are you seeing who you serve, who you have a relationship with? This is amazing. This should blow our minds. And that is a good thing. He is God. And this is why he's worthy of our praise, right? He's worthy of our praise because he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. He deserves our praise. We should be standing, lifting our hands, or on our knees, praying. This is why it should seem so strange to us that any human being would have ever been worshipped, right? Just a normal person. I mean, to think about Caesars being worshipped as gods, or some leader being followed around like a god, or a dictator being worshipped like a god, or a celebrity being worshipped like a god, or some just really great teacher. They're just human beings. But we worship Jesus Christ, who is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. He's the one that upholds the universe by the word of his power. He, as in Colossians 1:15 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. We worship Jesus Christ, the one who upholds the universe. You see, God the Father is invisible to us, but he made himself manifest to us by his Son, Jesus Christ. And when we look at this verse 15, focus in on this, the firstborn of all creation. I don't want you to be confused by this statement. We need to understand this truth, that Christ pre-existed with the Father before the world was created as the firstborn of all creation. Okay? We need to understand that. It wasn't like, oh, God then created Jesus as the firstborn. No, Jesus has always been the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. They've always been. Christ pre-existed with the Father before the world was created as the firstborn of all creation. This statement does not refer to the creation of Jesus before the world, but instead it speaks of the truth of Christ's eternal existence. Christ has always been. He is the Alpha and the Omega, right? He is the beginning and the end. Christ is eternal. Jesus Christ was not just some great man and a great teacher who walked this earth, did good things, and then died. That is not who Jesus was or is. Now, that's a lot of other people, right? There's been some really great teachers, some great leaders, and then they died because they were not God. Many false religions are built upon people that died, or died and then became a statue that was continued to be worshipped as a god. That should sound ridiculous to us. Christ has always been, and he willingly stepped out of glory, put flesh on, so to speak, journeyed to the cross for you and for me. He took our sin, he took our shame, he died for us, he rose from the grave, and as the second half of Hebrews 1:3 says, after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Amen? Amen. I hope that just within this one verse, you are being reminded of the true identity of Christ. And if you're a believer in Jesus, you are being reminded of who you are in Christ. Or maybe you're hearing of who who Christ is, and you're feeling the image from him this morning, the call on your life to follow him, the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of all creation. Let's look at verse 16. Christ is the agent of creation. He's also the purpose of creation. So the first half of 16, we see that Christ is the agent of creation. Look at verse 16. Look at your Bibles. It says this, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him." Last week we asked that question, why do we worship Christ? And the answer was, because he is worthy. And again, we are being reminded of why Christ is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our praise because of his incredible power. Just listen to this verse and see if it doesn't make you want to fall to your knees in worship of him. "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him." That is incredible. This is why he is worthy of our praise. This is the God that we serve. And if you're a believer, if you have trusted in the name of Jesus, then this is the God we get to have a personal relationship with. Does that make any impact on your life? The God who created everything, not just the stuff that we see, but even the invisible stuff, the spiritual realm, this is the God that we get to have a personal relationship with. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn from top to bottom, and now we can come into his presence. We get to call him Abba Father. We get to call him Daddy. We get to have a relationship with the God who created everything. I think we forget how big this is sometimes. I mean, because we see sometimes as church as just being a religion or a thing that we do, and we just kind of go because that's what we were taught to do, or that's what we probably think we should do, and then we kind of treat it as a schedule or an hour block that we make sure our family gets to, and then we make sure our kids get involved in whatever they need to do, and then we kind of just live our lives. We forget that we have a personal relationship with the God of the universe. I mean, isn't it kind of cool to know someone who's important? You ever feel that way? Has anyone ever got like a backstage pass to a big event because you knew someone that was working and they gave you free tickets, or they're like, "Hey, come on back here, I'll let you meet the band," or whatever? I mean, isn't it cool to know someone that's important? One of my favorite professors at seminary, he was a teacher, and he drove down to Shawnee every week and had several classes with him. And we became friends outside of class and still friends today. And he happened to be the vice president of the seminary I was going to. And so every year we would go down to seminary for 1 week or two on their campus, these kind of intensive classes, and get our hours. We had to do some classes. And so we would go down there, and they had a conference center that had hotel-style rooms, and so we would, several of us, four guys of us, we would all rent a room together, and we would stay at the conference center, go to class 8 hours a day, go out to dinner and go study, go back to class for about a week. Well, 1 week that we were there, halfway through the week, the school had scheduled a conference at the conference center, and they told us, they said, "We're sorry, but you're going to have to leave your rooms. You're going to have to go off campus and find a hotel because we booked your rooms, and so you need to leave this afternoon. So pack up your stuff." So we're like, "Okay, I guess we're going to leave." So we were walking to class, and here comes my friend who happens to be the vice president of the school, and he stopped. He's like, "How's your week going?" I said, "Well, it's pretty good. I mean," I said, "it's kind of stinks. We're getting kicked out of the conference center. We're going to go find a room somewhere." He's like, "Really? That's interesting." And he said just a phrase that usually comes from an important person. He said, "Let me see what I can do." That moment I was like, it's really good to know someone important. So I went to class. He called me from class, and he said, "Go back to the conference center tonight. There's a hallway that you probably don't know about, and go to the end of the hallway, and here's the code. It's yours for the rest of the week." I was like, "Okay." So we finished class, we got all our stuff, we went down this secret hallway, got to the end of the hallway, typed in the code, opened it up, and it was like, you know, the lights. I think it was all in gold, but that was in my mind. Anyway, it was the presidential suite. We didn't even know that was there. We had it was hot tub, living room, bedrooms, multiple bathrooms. We had the presidential suite for the rest of the week. And he's like, it's on me. It was really cool to know someone important. That was cool. Now, let me remind you, if you know Jesus, you know the God who created all things. When you drive through Colorado and you see that mountain that makes you your jaw drop, you have a personal relationship with the guy who created that. That's just the stuff that we see. There's all this stuff that's going on in the spiritual realm with angels and all this stuff that's also was created by him. We have a personal relation. Do you know someone important? Yeah. The most important. Do you think he's worthy of our praise? Do you think he deserves us coming and worshiping him? Do you think he deserves us spending time with him, listening to his truth? Christ is the divine agent of all creation. He made everything that we see that we don't see. We see the physical creation around us, which, yes, blows our mind, the beauty of his creation, but also the invisible, which includes the spiritual realm of the creation of angels. It includes thrones or dominions. It includes everything. Christ is the agent of creation. But not only is he the agent of creation, but we see in the very last statement of verse 16, he is the purpose of creation. Christ is the purpose of creation. That was not planned, but it was pretty cool. Technology, turn the lights out. Christ is the purpose of creation. Look at the very last part of verse 16. It says, all things were created through him and for him. Creation exists for Christ. It's created by him, but it's also created for him. I'm going to read Romans chapter 8, a few verses here. Verses 19 through 23, if you just want to write that reference down, I would recommend going back and kind of working through that. I know our adult Sunday school class is going through Romans right now, so you guys are in this mindset. Romans 8, 19 through 23 says this, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Christ is worthy of our praise. Christ exists for creation, but it's also, creation exists for Christ. Christ created creation, but it also exists for him. Christ is worthy of your praise and mine. You see, here's another truth. There are a lot of God haters that have always been. There are a lot of false teachers. There are many that hate the things of God. There are many who hate, like they hate his truth. Do you know why they hate why they hate his truth? It's because it is contrary to their truth. Who created truth? Jesus, right? Jesus is truth. Jesus is truth. How dare we, as just human beings who were created by him, say, you know what? Your truth is not right. This is my truth. Those people hate the truth of the gospel because it's contrary to theirs. But here is the truth that we would want all of them to hear is this, that there will be a day, as Philippians 2 says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There will be a day that every knee is going to bow. and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Christ is worthy of our praise because of who he is. Because of the power of the person of Christ, he is also worthy of our praise because he is the agent of all creation. And he is worthy of our praise because he is the purpose of all creation. And if you are a believer in Jesus, you have a personal relationship with him. Amen. Amen. Do you know Christ? I'm not talking about do you know the religion or a religion, but do you know Jesus? Do you have a relationship with the God who created everything? Did you need to be reminded this morning of why he is worthy of our praise? Are you feeling the call on your life? Maybe you know in your heart that you do not have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've just kind of come to church, or maybe you've not been in church, but you are feeling the call of Jesus on your heart this morning to know him. He is the one calling you. You don't have to do anything to save. Only Jesus can save you. Will you trust him today? Will you come to him today? We need to lift our eyes heavenward. We need to get our eyes off the distractions of this world. We need, as the church, to wake up, to go and make disciples, to go and share the name of Jesus, to go and lift high the name of Christ, to shine the gospel. This world is dark, and we have light because we are sons and daughters of light, right? So we get to go out and shine the light of the truth of the gospel to these lost and dying people. Will we go? Let us lift our eyes heavenward. Let us get our eyes off the distractions of this world and let us go. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us again in your word of who you are. You are Christ. You are Lord of all creation. You created everything. You have always been. You are eternal. And because of your work, your atoning work on the cross, we can have a relationship with you. We can have a relationship with the God of the universe. We can be adopted into God's family. Thank you. Thank you for that. Let our praise reflect that understanding. Let us be reminded of who you are, and let us be reminded to go and share that gift, to share that beautiful truth, the good news of the gospel. We give you all the glory. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.